So very thankful for the Lord's very evident presence in our midst, and for blessing Brother Philip to preach so ably. We appreciate your service, and we appreciate your love very much. And we certainly have felt it to a great degree here in this place. If you have your Bibles, I'll invite you to turn to Joshua chapter 2, and we do ask a diligent interest in your prayers. Joshua's been tasked with the responsibility of being the leader of Israel after Moses. Now that's a tall order. But the Lord had promised that he would be with Joshua. And he tells him again and again to be strong and of good courage. I will be with thee. And that's really all Joshua needed to know. And the same Lord that was with him is the same Lord that's with us today. And the message is still clear. Be strong and of good courage. And that's the message we've just been blessed to hear. Joshua sent two men to spy Jericho, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thy house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said, thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. Goes on to tell how she brought them up on the roof of the house, and so she hid them in the stalks of flax. And she tells the men from the king, they were here, but they've gone out. They left out about the time of the darkness at the city gate. If you hurry, maybe you'll catch them. Then she goes up and she begins to talk to the men, to the two spies that are upon her roof. Verse 9, she said unto them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. She wasn't scared of them because of who they were, but the terror had fallen upon all the inhabitants because of the Lord they served. It wasn't them, but it was the Lord. She begins to recount. She said, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. They come into a woman's house, a woman of ill repute, a woman that the Bible describes as a harlot, a woman that if this woman Rahab was any of us as fathers, if she was one of our daughters, we would have been very, very ashamed of her conduct. But this woman, though she had done a lot of bad things in her life, she does the right thing now. And one of the principles taught here, it's never too late to do the right thing. I don't say that to say that there's not consequences for our actions. I've been a federal probation officer and worked with the federal probation office for about 30 years now. And I've seen a lot of people that have made one bad decision and it forever adversely affected the rest of their life. They can get a title convicted felon upon them and it never goes away. There's been no expungement in the federal system. It takes a pardon by the President of the United States. One bad decision, one series of bad decisions can hurt our lives the rest of our life. There's consequences for the decisions we make, good or bad. I don't want to say anything to disregard that truth, but I also want to realize that we can't change our past. And there's nothing I can do about the things that I did yesterday or the day before or all the days of my life. I can't do anything about it now. But I can start to do the right thing now. Rahab's life here had been a shipwreck. But she starts to do the right thing now. And it's going to be a blessing to her, and it's going to be a blessing to her family. Let's continue to read. She said, "Now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord." You see how much glory she's given the Lord. She said, "For the Lord, your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath." She's seeing the power and the sovereignty and the might and the strength of Israel's God. I dare say she saw it better than a lot of the children of Israel saw it at times. She's remembering the victories. She said, "I remember the victory. We heard about it when your backs were up against the Red Sea and the most powerful army, the Egyptian army, was advancing upon you and you had no place to go." You ever been in a place in your life, I say, "I got no way out of this. I've got no place to go." But I'll tell you where there wasn't a place to go, God Almighty made a place to go. He opened up the waters of that Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground and God gave them a great victory that day from Pharaoh and all the Egyptians. Oftentimes the children of Israel forgot about that victory. But Rahab remembered. She remembered the victory that God had given them over the enemies of Israel and how God had blessed them with victory, and she was holding on to those sweet accounts of the victories that the Lord has given. You know, we need to do that. We need to remember the way the Lord has delivered us in our life and not forget the past victories the Lord has blessed us with. We need to teach our children as parents the victories of the Lord to his people in his word. We need to also teach them the victories the Lord's given us in our life. He's delivered us countless times. He's blessed us many a times. And we need to relay those stories of victory to our children as well. Said, "Now therefore I pray you," she's speaking to the spies, "swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, that ye save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." She said, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and I want you to save my family because of the kindness I've shown to you." Now I'm going to tell you, when we do the right thing, when we do the things that pleases the Lord, it's not only a blessing to us individually, it's a blessing to our families. When we do the right thing, our families are affected by what we do. If we do the wrong thing, it hurts them badly. But I'll tell you, Rahab here was doing the right thing, the thing that pleased the Lord, the thing that came from a heart of faith, and God was pleased with it, and her whole family would be blessed. by the right thing she did. So it is today. Our whole family can be blessed when we do the right thing. The men promise that they'll deliver her and her family. She let them down by a cord through the window. And the men tell her, verse 17, and the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath that thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line, the line you just let us out of the window on. We'll bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house upon the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. Whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head. If any man, any hand be upon him. They tell him, you put this scarlet line in the window. That'll be the sign that everybody in this house, with the scarlet thread, the scarlet line, they will be safe. It's interesting that that word there, rendered line, that Hebrew word, has the connotation of hope. This is a line of hope for Rahab and for her family. And as soon as the spies leave, she doesn't wait to try to guess when the attack of Israel is coming. She doesn't wait, but instantly upon them leaving, she binds that scarlet thread, that scarlet cord in the window. Scarlet thread of hope. Scarlet in the Bible is very emblematic of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ by his precious blood upon the cross of Calvary. We look in the Bible and we see chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter about the tabernacle. Why so much detail? Because that tabernacle's got the Lord Jesus Christ all over it. It had scarlet all over it. Had the scarlet on the hangings around the tabernacle. Had scarlet on the hangings of the gate into the outer court. It had scarlet on the hangings as you entered the tabernacle. There was scarlet all over the high priestly garments. There was scarlet, a symbol of hope. And I'm going to tell you, every time Rahab looked out her window through that scarlet thread of hope, Jericho didn't look the same. You know, we live in a whole world kind of like Jericho. But the world looks different when we look at it through the hope we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It looks very differently because we can grab on to hope and realize the victory. Every time Rahab looked out at Jericho and knew that place was going to be destroyed, she took hope in that promise and that scarlet thread of redemption, that scarlet cord of the hope that she and her family would be delivered. We can look out in a world that God Almighty has said, one day this world will be destroyed. But I'll tell you, whenever we look around at all that's going on in this world, we look out our window and we look through that scarlet cord, that scarlet thread of hope, and it makes a difference for us every single day in our life. It's a lot easier to live in this life realizing we've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. Realizing we have the deliverance. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And every day Rahab knew, I'm going to be delivered. My family's going to be delivered. And she had a sweet remembrance of it in that scarlet thread of hope. Song of Solomon chapter 4. We've alluded to that. Brother Phillips alluded to that same chapter during this meeting. And the kingly husband, the bridegroom, looks at his bride. It describes her lips as scarlet. The Lord loves us so much. And as Rahab was looking out at that scarlet cord, you know, as the Lord looked at her, he saw scarlet. He saw the love that he had for her. Hebrews chapter 11 said that what Rahab did, she did by faith. Would say, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. And by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. She believed. She perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. So what Rahab did on this occasion was from a heart of faith. We have faith because we've been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. So this gives testimony that when Rahab the harlot, whose life had been shipwrecked, when she did this good deed and received the spies in peace, she did it with a heart of faith because she had already been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And that testifies to the love that God Almighty had for Rahab. Though her life had been a shipwreck, God Almighty loved her. He loved her before time ever began. He loved her before he ever said, "Let there be light." God loved Rahab. And he shows her his love. And he gives her sweet, sweet deliverance. She received the spies with peace. We go to Joshua chapter 6. We'll see where the Lord had plainly promised unto Joshua that he had given into thine hand Jericho. He gives them instructions to go around the city once a day for 6 days. There's a lot of sevens here showing the perfection of the deliverance of Almighty God. There would be seven priests going ahead with seven ram's horns being blown. And God gives them specific instructions. The Lord tells them that on the first 6 days, he says this in verse 10, "Ye shall not shout, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall you shout." There's a time for us to be silent. There's a time for us to not speak one word. Then there's a time to shout. I'm afraid many times in my life, when it was time for me to speak, when it was time for me to shout, I stayed silent in defense of my Lord. And many a time I should have stayed silent. I should have spoke not a word. I was talking, saying the wrong thing. The Lord told him, "You don't say a word till I bid you shout." You know, if the Lord had let them be talking during this time, can you imagine what they'd have been saying? One Israelite come up, I don't guess Bubba is a Jewish name, but come up and say, "Hey, Bubba, why are we walking around this city? This ain't doing any good. We're just walking around here. We're not fighting. We're not doing anything. I don't think this is working. Why are we doing this? Let's go back to Egypt. We had better food over there." Pretty frequent sayings of the children of Israel. The Lord said, "You don't say a word till the day I bid you shout." On that seventh day, they were to compass around the city seven times. And when they heard the long blast on the trumpet, then they were to shout, for the Lord had given them the city. Then they were to shout. The Bible said they shouted upon the command. And the Lord blessed those walls to fall down. The Bible says flat. And the city shall be accursed, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Those walls fell down flat, and archaeologists have gone and have dug up the ancient city of Jericho. Usually when a city falls by force from the outside, the walls will fall inside. When police go to a door to execute an arrest warrant and the door is kicked in, it doesn't fall to the outside, it falls to the inside, because the police are battering, ramming the door, and the force is from the outside, so the door falls to the inside. But I'm going to tell you, these walls fell outward, and they're still outward even there today when the archaeologists dug them up, as a symbol and a testimony that this battle was not won by the strength of men, but by the power of an almighty God, and God gets all the honor, and God gets all the glory. Then he says, you go into to Rahab's house. The Bible tells us her house was on the wall. You know, when they excavated that ancient city, a lot of the details the Bible revealed, they found it just like that. They found the city had been burnt, just like the Bible said. The Bible said that Jericho had been besieged. It had been shut up because the children of Israel had it surrounded. And so they had stored up some barrels of meal and of food in there, and a little bit of it had been used, but not much. And that's exactly what the archaeologists found when they dug up the ancient city of Jericho. You know what else they found? The Bible said Rahab's house was on the wall. And after the walls had fallen down flat outwardly as a testimony to the victory of the Lord, he said, you go into Rahab's house. See, there was still a little part of the wall standing. And that's where Rahab's house was. And he tells them, after the walls had fallen down flat, you go into Rahab's house. You know what the archaeologists found? Just a little bit of wall that was still standing. And I believe the Lord left that as a sweet testimony of the deliverance he gave to this harlot who had shipwrecked her life, but God loved her. And God delivered her and delivered her family. The Bible said she came into Israel. Do you know what? She never left. We've been blessed to be in Israel. I pray we'll never leave. Don't ever leave Israel. She marries a man named Salmon. And this harlot that had lived a rough lifestyle but began to do the right thing, and who had a love in her heart for the Lord and acted in faith to the Lord, she becomes the mother of Boaz. I love that account of Ruth. As soon as we're introduced to Boaz, he's introduced as a near kinsman, a mighty man of wealth. He's a strong picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's the Lord strong and mighty, who's the Lord mighty in battle, who is rich beyond measure. He has the cattle of 1,000 hills. Ephesians chapter 1. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, it said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So this mighty man Boaz, a strong picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, a man that's mighty, he's a mighty man of wealth, as our Lord Jesus Christ is strong and mighty, and he's rich in grace and mercy. He's rich in love. He's rich in compassion. And Rahab is blessed to be the mother of that mighty man of wealth, Boaz. What a testimony to God's grace. Brother Philip preached an outstanding message on the genealogy of Christ recently at the Farmersville and looked at the women that were there. Rahab's mentioned in that prophecy. Never too late to start doing the right thing. Aren't we grateful that the Lord's delivered us? He's given us a precious hope. Hebrews 6 says, let us lay upon the hope that's set before us. And it describes that hope as our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer. May we lay hold upon Him every day. May every day we look at that scarlet thread of hope, and may it bless us to see the world differently than we would have. Because we should never see this world through the lens of defeat. But may God bless us to always see it through the lens of hope. Through the lens of victory. When we look out our window, may we look through the scarlet cord, through the scarlet thread of hope, and may it help us to be more faithful in serving the Lord and being faithful in the land of Israel every single day. May God richly bless you. My prayer. Please pray for Brother David.